Welcome to Terrestrial Takes. Welcome to Terrestrial Takes. I'm Duchesne's, joined as always by Tim at Nubs. Double N, double B, how you doing?
Good. It's super windy, but I've been getting a lot of projects done here. We cleaned up a bunch of those leaves and I filled up one of those rolly garbage cans that go by the side of the road, completely full. So now I'm working them into bags. So it's fun, but.
Yeah, I started doing yard work, and then I was motivated to do housework, and then I realized I should have been doing this housework all winter, so I don't have to do yard work and housework, but whatever, when motivation strikes.
Exactly. I bought a security system, the cameras, the 4K cameras, but they're wired, and I'm taking on a new venture of running a wired cable throughout my entire house.
How's that going?
It's a learning process.
Speaking of learning process, I think fans are still learning that the cap does not matter. It just matters on if your owner wants to spend money, as we have Stephon Diggs signing with an extension with the Bills. People seem to think if you pay your quarterback, you'll be capped. Well, not if your owner wants to spend. So what were the numbers on this? 70 million guaranteed or something.
Is it 3 years of addition? And then Cooks just got one for two as well.
Yeah, Cooks got a 2-year extension with the Texans. And a 5-year 70. Oh, that's Minnesota. Yeah, should have pulled this up beforehand. Anyways, Diggs got paid after all those cryptic tweets. So
$104 million extension for 4 years, 70 million guaranteed.
Yeah. So 4 years, 70 mil. What's that? Probably 3 years, like 20 something each. I don't know, something like that. If your owner wants to spend, you can pretty much have whoever you want and you can just push it off to the next year. That's what all these teams do. They know that the cap's going to go up and they have their outs, and you see it happen. Just like the Saints work their magic to somehow get what, $80 million back in cap space. Like, but that's just the owner. That's an excuse the owners use. Is that we're hamstrung by the cap? We can't do anything, and we eat it up. But that's a battle I'll never win.
I'm happy though that Diggs seems to create mini controversies a lot, and Diggs is one of my favorite wide receivers in the league, and he's so good. So I hope that this completely just quiets that situation, and he can just play excellent football.
Yeah. I mean, it has to boost his stock a little, does it not? I mean,
oh yeah, he's tied to Josh Allen. There's no way he's going anywhere. The offense probably shouldn't change too much in a negative way towards his play either.
Well, when he becomes wide receiver two with Gabe Davis there, he might take a hit. Yeah, no thanks.
You know, Drake London actually would look really good there too, just so you know.
A yeah, big we're gonna target do,
for Allen just to shoot shots at.
Right. We're gonna talk a little NFL draft, because this is the last pod for at least a week or two, because I'm gonna be gone. So we're gonna get our rookie running back ranks in. That'll cover all the positions really, besides tight end and whatever.
Take McBride.
Early mid second.
You're gonna overdraft Woods, and you're gonna either regret it or it's gonna be worthwhile.
But most likely gonna be. I mean, they're the guys that I'll talk about when we're talking running backs. But in the late third to fourth, I'll take a couple shots on tight ends just because they're gonna the tight ends hold value. That's what tight ends do. They don't if they just have a semblance of a starting job or a role, they're gonna have a mid second value. Like people seem to think Freiermuth, I don't know. I get the feeling that some people think Freiermuth's a little overrated, but do you understand? Like, he already has a top 10 season or whatever, just missed out. He has a top 12 for sure. I think it was top 10, depends on settings or whatever. His rookie year at what, 24 years old, the dude's going to be worth at least a second for the next like 5 years, no matter what. So, like, he's just a he's just a ticket that you put in your pocket that will not depreciate.
I think a key contributor to that is that he actually did produce early, because a lot of times tight ends take 2 to 3 years, which they still, like you said, hold their value. But more,
we're still talking about OJ Howard around this app. Like, it's insanity.
It's annoying because OJ Howard probably could have produced better in a different offense that they just isn't requesting the block all the time. But he's such a good blocker, it hurts his fantasy production. But
also,
like,
so OJ Howard doesn't suck.
I don't think he does. I don't. I don't know what happened, how he had fell out of favor or whatever, but that it's weird because he produced really well early on and then it just like went away.
Yeah, I don't. It just, I was trying to think of an Achilles pun here, but I got nothing. I had a long day. So, is there any other real news to get to? I mean, two wide receivers got extensions. Pittsburgh is still looking at quarterbacks. They're meeting with Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder. good luck. So if you thought that, I don't know, it doesn't seem good for Trubisky, does it? I mean, I know he's a massive upgrade, Deontay to the moon and all, but they're still eyeing quarterback, which I guess if I'm a Steeler fan, I'm happy about.
I agree. Ridder can't throw. He literally can't throw, man. Like, somebody is going to fall in love with him and overdraft him.
A lot of people are. There's a lot of, I feel like it's smoke, man. Like, I feel like there's, everybody's just saying Ridder because nobody actually wants him, but some sucker's going to take him. We're not a Ridder show, so sorry, guys. He's picking up steam in rookie drafts, too.
It won't surprise me if he can run, but I won't be surprised when he can't pass.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be able to throw to be able to run. You have to be able to get on the field as a quarterback.
They're going to run some hybrid set where he lines up at fullback, but then just gets split out. Yeah. Backward passes to him.
He's going to be doing the Mariota into the lineman ball. I know they got rid of that role. All right, don't roast me too hard. All right, hello. Well, I just can't get it to the main event, talk some running backs.
Let's do it.
It's time for the main event.
Rookie running back ranks. Come and get them. I think we'll go to, I guess we could push 10. I really don't care much after like 6 or 7, but people want to show, you should deliver. So, you can go first. What do you got at RB1? You're gonna set this place on fire? Or?
Big Bad Brees.
Yeah. Big Bad Brees. I haven't heard that one.
I made it up. I said, let's go with alliteration. We're going to run with that.
Nice. Yeah. There's not much to see here. Brees Hall, rookie RB1.
Just he's most complete package, most likely to succeed at a 3-down role. And that just brings a lot of value to the position.
Yep. I mean, if you've listened to any pod I've been on or this pod, I've pretty much, or followed me on Twitter, you've probably heard it all. Early production, sustained production, can catch, has breakaway speed, can handle a workhorse load, doesn't have to. I think he can still be an RB1 on 12 to 14 touches if that's all he gets, which wouldn't be ideal, but his floor is very high and his ceiling is it's up there. It's way up there. What do you got at 2? Let's get interesting here.
I did Walker, but I'm not in love with Walker because I think there's a lot of times he tries to bust outside. Like, that's where he finds a lot of his success. I know that other people have talked about how he's good between the tackles, and I'm not saying that's not true. I'm saying the tendency for him to want to try to bounce it outside, I feel, will be less successful in the NFL. But when you compare it to these other running backs, there's no way I'm moving him below 2. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've moved him up to 2, but it's in a tier of 2 to 3 with number 3 because I haven't completely given up on him. But yeah, I like Kenneth Walker. He's made his way up. I'm not too concerned about the pass catching. I think he can do it if he has to. I don't know if he's the greatest athlete. I think he's a good running back, but I think he thinks he's a really high-end athlete by trying to break those runs outside. And I mean, he's very solid. He has enough speed. It's just, I don't know. I don't have the love for him.
Maybe I think his best success will actually be when they not saying catch the defense off guard, but it's not a long developing play. It's not a play that requires patience. It's more able to break through to get to second level, and then if something spectacular happens after that, then we're happy. But I've never really cared about running backs being able to break long runs. Like, I just don't, because there's so many times in which that's just not an option because the line's not good enough or the defense just keys too much on the run. I just want to see successful repetitive plays. Not saying I want grinders or two down backs, but I'm less concerned with a guy running a 4.6 versus a 4.3 or 4.4 at running back. That's all I'm saying.
I think that makes up for having a bad line or people around you is having that speed to make up for it. But it, I mean, it mostly has to do with burst. Like once you get through most 4.5 guys, if you don't have the angle, you're not going to catch them if it's 4.3 or 4.6. So it's about quick agility. I think
100% agree with you.
Yeah. I think Kenneth is, can be a grinder though. I think you should get a workload. He's at 2. I'm just not in love. I got Spiller at 3. He's fallen from 2. But it's in a tier together. I'm kind of happy because, like, right now you're looking at Walker in the top 4 or 5 picks of rookie drafts. And Spiller is like 8 or 9 right now because he's falling. People are falling out of love with him. And I understand, but I like him. I like his pass catching ability. I think he has that quickness. And I think he's a great value in rookie drafts right now. What do you at 3?
I also have Spiller. One of my opinions, I'm not tying this directly back to Spiller, but one of my opinions, like, when we were talking in prior years, like talking about like a Keyshawn Vaughn type of running back, he was very meh at everything. And that really made me stay away. In a lot of situations, I kind of feel the same about Spiller. But the thing with Spiller is I feel like he's much more likely to be able to handle a large workload. And when that happens, you're able to produce points as a running back. So that's where his appeal is for me. So I'm not really moving him too far down. I think pick 6, 7, 8, 9, he'll go. And I think that's completely fine. Like, if you needed a running back and like you're debating between like London and him for some reason, I don't hate it, but I would pick London over him most likely. But I don't have an issue going the other way either, because if he's able to get that role and he's able to get, you know, the number of touches required for to be a 3-down running back, he's going to produce enough points to be worthwhile in that position.
Yeah, he's never had like a substantial workload for over the year. It's all around like 200, I think, touches or whatever. But he does have, you know, multiple games with 20 carries or so. I like Spiller. He hasn't completely fallen off for me. But he is at RB3, and I feel like that's where most people have him. It might get interesting here at 4, but I don't really know. I think we're probably in step block here. I've got Rashad White at 4. Do you concur?
I do not.
Ooh, okay. Well, I got Rashad White at 4. He's moving up. I think the thing everyone's saying, and I can see it too, is like the AG of this kind of class with the pass catching. I think he's just a really good athlete and has a lot of upside. But he's moved up, and yeah, that's my 4. What do you got a 4?
I have Zamir White.
Wow, okay, so you have him over me. Interesting. This is a tier of 2. It's the White tier for me.
So I think Zamir is more of a 2-down grinder. I understand this, but my feeling on it is someone is going to fall in love with Zamir White. It could be one team, but it only takes one team. The issue I see most with White is that he doesn't get thin through the hole, which I don't know if that's coachable. I don't know if that's something you can work on or if that's just a vision thing. But he stays wide through the hole, which actually hurts a lot of his breakaway run opportunities or his opportunities to turn a 7-yard run into a 15-yard run or more, depending on how the defense is able to react in that next 7 yards or 8 yards. So that's a concern of mine. But I feel like he's very capable of handling a very big role in it on a team. Maybe you don't see him bust out into a real big role until there's maybe an injury during the year or something like that to the team he gets drafted to. I'm not saying we bank on injuries, just throwing out situations where then he steps in. You really see almost a flawless transition. He's able to handle bulk of carries. Like the same appeal that AJ Dillon has is kind of what I see with Zamir. Dillon may be a complete and better running back, but I think Zamir has that ability to come in and run an offense or run the running portion of an offense very much in a capable manner.
Yeah, I like Zamir White. I've liked him this whole process. In an early earlier rookie draft with the monocle, I took him at 202 knowing that he'd be there later, but I said that based on just pure talent rankings, I'm going to just go on record and say I have Zamir White at 202. And he hasn't really fallen. It's just that Rashad has just stepped over him. That's all that's happened. But I think Zamir has did not show any pass catching ability whatsoever. But I'm not turned off by that, because I think if he had to, just like Kenneth, I think he'd be just fine doing it. But I think he's just a fucking solid ass running back. I think he's just good at the position, and I think a team will like that. That was my five. So what do you have at five?
Rashad.
Okay.
So it's the whites. Yep, now, Rashad just lacks polish. So there's upside, which is why he's in my top five. It's just if he'll reach that potential. Further down the list, basically, it's going to turn into players that it's just going to require the right team, right opportunity, right situation when drafted. And I think White actually, no, to six, which I have at six. After that, I think it's basically just going to be situation where I think Rashad White is able to flourish in more than one type of offense, one type of play design type opportunity. He just really needs to learn the position better.
Yeah. The difference here is if you want Rashad White, you're going to have to take him early in the second. I mean, he's even slipped into the first once or twice, whereas Zamir hasn't been taken before 204, but he's mostly going towards the back end of the second. But it's creeping up, and I expect he'll be like a 204, 205 staple in a lot of drafts.
I have him pegged at 204.
Yeah. And then I think it really falls off for me. I'm not taking another running back in the entire second round besides those guys. So I'd be taking, I have two guys that I would take in the third. And we'll get to them. So what do you got at six?
Brian Robinson.
Okay.
Brian Robinson to me is just, he's very solid. He's not going to make mistakes. He's going to be the one that soaks up a playbook, as you can kind of see there's certain ways in which he played at Alabama, which you don't do these things unless you're just very well versed in the playbook. One of those things that he did really well was actually leak out on broken plays to create a target for his quarterback in dump off settings, just even towards the sideline, which is really intelligent of a running back, because a lot of them will just get lost in pass protection or not know understanding the timing or whatever of even the drop back to get out of the backfield. And he doesn't have that issue. I never want him running side to side. I always want him running north-south, because laterally it's not there, and I don't want guys running him down from the side. But if he's a nice little – he gets, 15, 20 receptions, if maybe that, based on just him being able to find open space and understand the progression of the offense or the play, that's good. So after Robinson, I have a massive tier break, and it's just going to be leaned much more towards landing spot.
So I have my tiers are Breece in the first tier, Kenneth and Spiller in their own tier, then the two whites in their tier, and then I have another tier of two here that I'm looking at early third. And my six is Jerome Ford, previously Alabama running back. What I always think is funny is when you look at his college stats, he's got 3 years that are labeled as a freshman, and then the junior is fourth year. It's pretty funny, but he went to Cincinnati, started taking over the role last year, and then this year just carried Desmond Ridder to the first round of the NFL draft, likely scoring 20 touchdowns, 1,500 yards from scrimmage. He could catch. I think he's a decent runner. He's just a guy that I'm willing to take a chance in the early third on, because he's a guy that, I mean, he could be Trey Sermon, but he could also, not be. How do you like that for analysis? And then at seven in the same tier is Brian Robinson. I'm fine with either of these guys. I'm usually sitting in the early third, like 303, and both of them are available. And I'm kind of going back and forth, getting a couple flavors, seeing which one I like. But I have Ford ahead at this moment.
I have Ford at seven. He's actually, in my opinion, between him and Robinson, the higher upside. But I think his floor is through the fucking dirt. So he could be terrible, but I also think he could have almost like a Doug Martin type of season Doug Martin had his successful seasons on like the off years, like every other year. I could see that. but I also could see that he becomes an RB4 on a team and never sees the field.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate reality of running backs. That's why you got to shoot your shot on guys you like and pray to God they hit. So we're at 8, and now this is pretty much just I'm not taking any of these guys in the third. I'd be waiting till the fourth, and this guy I have at 8 will not be there because other people like him. But I'm okay missing out on him, and that's James Cook. That's my number 8. I just don't. I think he's being held up by his brother's name a little bit. I think he's fine. I just don't think he's anything special. He's at my 8 just like because the rest are really that bad. And I like even the couple guys I like, I don't feel right putting over Cook, but I have him at 8 and I won't be having any James Cook shares.
Cook isn't in my top 10 nor my honorable mentions.
Oh, I love this.
Now, I think he does have upside as a receiver, but all he has is a receiver. And he's really not even that good in and out of breaks. He has sloppy feet. And he's going to be off balance a lot of times where bigger, stronger, faster defenders are just going to knock him on his ass. And that's before he even gets the football.
Yep. He's going as high as 206 right now.
Woof.
Yeah.
Woof. Yeah,
I don't want any part of that. Yeah, 206 is his high.
Oh my God.
He's at 302 ADP, and I'm taking Robinson and Ford easily there over him.
Absolutely.
So who do you have at 8?
I have Keyonte Ingram.
Okay.
Now I know that he's ranked much lower on other mock boards and pretty much everywhere else. But I see a guy that could play running back 3 downs in the NFL. Now, his ceiling, you know, you just in once you get to this area, you're not really sure of what you're going to see on every one of these guys, but I honestly think he could come in and be a team's really cheap 3 down back for 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah, he's a guy that you're not hearing much about. He's barely being taken, I think, in drafts. I'm actually trying to find him right now.
He's low. I guarantee you he's low.
Yep, Keyonte Ingram. He's going undrafted. High of 312 and low of 412. So he's going in the fourth round, if anything, right now. But he's only been drafted like he's got like 8 or 9 picks, so that's not so bad. Yeah, I really don't have much on Keyonte. He's got decent production. He was at Texas and USC. But I'm gonna have my eye on him now. That's why we do this. Get some names in people's ears, which is why we should have probably just started at like 8, to be honest. the thing with running back is it's the easiest position to not scout, but like to prospect, you know, like it's pretty
most easy. Transferable.
Yeah, like it's much harder to predict a running a quarterback or a wide receiver because so much goes into both of those positions. Whereas running back, not to say it's not a hard position, it's very translatable, you know. So they're very easy to know who's good, but people still slip through the cracks, and as we know, opportunity is king. So what do we got at 9?
I have Kennedy Brooks, but I'm not very high on him. Once again, I think he's more likely to have a role versus a lot of these other guys that are. You're just more or less taking a lot of shots in the dark with this class because there's not high level running backs this low. There just aren't in this class, and it's kind of just empty. Like for example, Letty Brown. I really like how he runs, but he ran a 4.6, so he's not like even running fast times, but he has a way in which he could probably be an anomaly at for a successful type of position. But getting back to Brooks, he's a very strong, powerful runner. He did have some breakout runs, which I'm not really expecting to see that often or at all in the NFL just because of his lack of top end. But I think he can make it through the first level of the defense and have some productive runs up into the linebacker level of the defense. So I don't know. I just think there's opportunity here, but I'm not like super high on this guy.
Yeah. Not many people are, but that's the guy that you're putting in your top 10. You're putting your name to him, so respect. I kind of want to just take Cook out because that was like, that was like I just felt like he had to be in there, so I didn't get yelled at. Cook's, James Cook, you're out of my top 10. At 7 or at 8, I have Ely. You're moving up. Yeah, Ely's moving up. I don't expect big high upside with Ely. I'm kind of hoping for like a Sproul, Darren Sproul's like, he'll be a flex for like 6 or 7 years. I think he could be a pass catching back. I mean, I think he's fine as well as a runner. I just don't expect him to. I mean, if you really want to, if I want to be wild, I could say like his upside's Austin Eckler or something. But I mean, I just don't believe that. So, but I think he's a good runner. He's small size, but he's quick. He didn't have great production, but I think he looks like he has a very established or identifiable role that I think a team might.
I'm worried about his size, but that's
about easy to worry about. I mean, he's 5'8", 190. Like he's a little guy. I mean, what was Gainwell? I mean, he weighed in pretty well. Now that I remember,
I think he weighed in like 195 or
yeah, which was crazy because we were really like expecting 175 or something. Mm-hmm.
But you drink a lot of water before you went and got weighed in.
Yeah. So I moved Ely up to 8. At 9, I've got Hassan Haskins, Michigan running back. Had like 1,500 yards from scrimmage and 20 touchdowns this year. He's got good size. He's like over 6 feet, 215, 220. I just think he could be a guy that a team takes that they let run loose a little bit. I go from little freaking Ely to big Haskins. I'm shooting both ends of the spectrum here. That's what you're doing at this point. These are literally like mid fourth picks if I'm taking them at all, but they're guys that, that I have my eye on at least. Cause a lot of these running backs don't have my eye at all. So you gave us 9. What do you have for 10?
Zaquandre White out of South Carolina. I know he didn't have the lead there, but I think his game actually matches better for the NFL than it does for college because you're not going to be able to key in on him, especially if he's not the lead back in an offense. Like if he comes in and he's a change of pace, you're more or less likely going to be keying a lot more onto the receivers or the tight ends, which will give him opportunities to run. And he's pretty shifty and a pretty good playmaker when he gets the ball and gets to the next level. There's not a lot of times in which he got stopped in the backfield or like line of scrimmage, but there's a lot of times in which he busted outside, which is a concern. But if he can get upfield and challenge linebackers with his agility and then try to overpower defensive backs, we could see, you know, some pretty fun production from him.
Yeah. I don't really have much on Zaquandre. People are starting to warm up to him as well in drafts, though. I've seen him going quite a bit, and I'm like, Zamir White just lasted to 406. What the fuck just happened? But yeah, there's also Z White. That's what he.
That could be Zaquandre.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it's Zaquandre going in the fourth, but I look and I'm like, shit. There's a lot of Zonovan Knight also, Zaquandre White, Zamir White. There's a lot of names to trip yourself up on. There's also a bunch of Pierces.
Price.
Yeah, Price, Pierce. Yeah. I'm seeing them all as like, as I enter the ADP, I'm like, I think I find them and it's the wrong one. I have to go fucking fix like 12 picks because they're all wrong. At 10, bro, I really just don't like anybody, to be honest. I'm too lazy to look at the other guys that are going here, like Zonovan Knight or Ebner, Ty Chandler, Aljair. So I'll just take a guy I like, which I don't even think he's going to get fucking drafted, but I don't care. CJ Verdell, baby. That's my boy.
He's so bad.
Oh, my God. He's so good. What are you talking about?
No, he's not good, but
he's not good with a torn ACL, but when fully healthy, CJ's a fucking – he's a dude.
Oh, no. Your fandom is showing.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. This is a homer pick and a half. I'm picking him up off of like for like zero fab after the draft.
Just hell yeah, just you are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want any of these running backs since you're McCormick. Like, I'm just going to take shots on wide receivers and like tight ends here, like Dolchich and Kolar. Like,
I like Dolchich a lot. I just wanted to, two honorable mentions, Algier and Beatty. I don't think Beatty's that great, like, at all. I don't think he did anything that proved he was the running back. Like, he was the reason the running Missouri had running success whatsoever. But there could be a situation in which he gets good blocking and he's able to read those blocks. And he's able to find success either near the goal line or some, you know, breakaway runs, whatever. I'm not on him because I don't really think he's a talent, but I do see that there's an opportunity for success if he falls in the right situation. And Algier's probably someone that can handle a load. I just don't think he's very good.
Yeah, I mean, I would be taking Algier in a draft, like, legitimately. I just wanted to say CJ Verdell. That Drew's about to die by the next pod, so, like, I got one more time to live in it. Yeah, I got nothing else really on running backs. The top guys it's pretty set in stone. It's just a matter of where you want to take them, really. We've all got them pretty locked in, I think, especially those first seven or eight. I think it was seven. Those really are consistently going the same. And I know people, I'm literally, my whole brand is to fading Twitter and stuff. But like I said, running back is a very predictable position. So it's not that hard. It's not wild to be that off, like, to go crazy against consensus. You don't have to feel bad about being chalk with running back.
And a couple ideas that I'm kind of developing through this offseason are, one, I'm not going to be worried too much about, when it comes to, like, priority free agents this year, that they're priority free agents and not talking about, like, oh, they didn't get the draft capital. Because we're looking at a draft class that has basically a third more players than most draft classes that we would normally see. So there are going to be players that do get undrafted or go undrafted. So that's not something I'm going to be, like, taking guys off my list if they go undrafted. They are going to be, you know, penalized, but there's going to just be that, because there's a finite number of picks and there's nearly an infinite number of players compared to picks. It's just going to happen. As well as, after the draft hits, basically after the top six or seven, the list is going to completely flip over or change just based on the teams that they go to.
Mm-hmm.
And your pools are probably going to get less deep when it comes to this position, just because there'll be guys you're just not going to want to touch whatsoever.
I don't want to touch many of them. So I want to talk a little draft, because we're probably only going to have one pod before the draft after this. So I'm looking at some lines here because I see some. We killed it on the draft betting last year. I think we went like 7-1. We hit like everything. A lot of them I got in early on, though, because the lines were like broken, and we saw it coming from a mile away. Like Jamar Chase, first wide receiver, Jamar Chase drafted in the top 10. Pitts, first offensive player, or no, it was like top five Pitts.
What threw me off too is that Pitts said he didn't even think Atlanta was going to draft him.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Cincinnati after them, but the bet still hit, so whatever, baby. So the first line I'm looking at actually is first wide receiver off the board. Who do you think the first wide receiver drafted is?
Wilson.
So I think it's Wilson too, but both Wilson and London are sitting at plus 125 even. Like, they're even odds, but they're both plus money.
Huh.
That's something that I would hop on. I mean, I would just take both at that point. Like,
why not?
I mean, unless you get a Jameson Williams Ruggs situation. But that wouldn't make sense, because Jameson's good. That would be more like, I don't know, Watson. Yeah, Christian Watson. I don't know.
I don't think Jameson. The thing with Jameson is that he's too much of a specialist. Not saying he can't do
it. He might be perceived as that, but I don't think he's.
No, I'm saying more or less in comparison to the other receivers. Like, yeah. A lot of people see Wilson as like an opportunity to be the next Diggs. Like, you're gonna take that over someone that's more or less perceived as like the speed guy in the draft.
You would think, but then when do the Raiders pick? All right, Drake London, over or under 10.5 pick?
Oh, I got to go over. I don't think he's a top 10.
I agree. Like, And it's even at minus 115 for both.
There are going to be teams that trade it for quarterback. There's good offensive linemen. There's good pass rushers. So there's no way he goes top 10.
I don't think so either. I think that's a wild line. I would have it at like 14 and a half.
Yeah, I don't know who has it, but I would be thinking 16 as like the number is like his peak. And I don't even know who has 16.
All right, Garrett, same odds. Garrett Wilson, 10 and a half.
Oh, under.
Yeah, under. He'll be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
See, I feel like the draft has like crazy value that you can feel good about betting too. But it also makes me it makes me change my opinion. Basically, Aiden Hutchinson is sitting at minus 280 for the number one pick, and Thibodeau is sitting at plus 2,000, which is just crazy to me.
You want to go in on that?
I'm gonna go in.
Too good. That line is just too good not to take a shot at it.
And he's the best player in the draft, so I guess Vegas probably knows better than Duchesne's. Probably.
Let me know what you want to do, and I'll buy half.
All right. I'll throw $50 on that.
All right.
$100. One's 2,000. 50 each.
Let's do it.
10 times our money.
If only we like hit the Packers.
1,000 each.
Beating the 49ers, we would have made 1,000 each too.
That was
get fucked.
Fuck the Packers.
That was awful.
That was so bad. So like I felt so good about that. We hit the hard ones. Like so another line with Thibodeau.
By the way, I just looked. 16 is the Saints. 16. I wanted to know what was driving me nuts.
That could be
when I was talking about London. But there's probably going to be more trades. What were you saying, though?
Thibodeau, over or under 5.5?
Under.
Yeah, it's plus 100 for under 5.5. I'm going to have to take a ride to New Hampshire like tomorrow before these odds change because it's just crazy. And then if we should just go fucking all Kayvon Thibodeau, go in on Tibbs. We should do like Thibodeau first overall at plus 2,000, mm-hmm. under 5.5 at plus 100, and Aiden Hutchinson over 1.5 at plus 225.
Wait, yes.
Yeah, like if he doesn't go first, it's plus 25, 225.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't believe how much of a favorite he's become to go first overall.
I don't know.
That's just wild to me, man.
Did you know, though, that I was watching something a couple days ago that he and his dad were the same number at Michigan and he surpassed his dad for the sack record?
That's adorable.
I was unaware of this, and it was the Michigan all-time sack record. He actually surpassed his dad.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think we should also get in on Wilson and London. I'm down to get in on all of these. Wilson first, Wilson under 10.5, Drake London over 10.5.
Okay, we'll call it the betting. It'll be a new mutual fund.
Yeah, there we go.
These are all our performing funds.
First RB selected, Breece Hall minus 250. I wouldn't touch this, to be honest. I wouldn't. Nope. And I know it's laughable, but like I must have had a dream like a month ago. But Isaiah Spiller pulling a CEH and being the first RB drafted, and it's at plus 650. The odd is it's not good enough for me to really want to take if it was like 850 maybe. But I mean, I could throw like $10 at that and fucking laugh hysterically if he gets first.
And that is an important wrinkle to pay attention to is that we can have our echo chambers as much as we want about fantasy, but that doesn't mean that they're going to get picked in the same order for the NFL.
And it doesn't mean you should change your order when they do. Like if
Breece Hall,
yeah, yeah, garbage quarterback.
He's such a weapon. What if he goes to the 49ers?
Oh my god! They trade Lance.
Do you want to do your team thing again? And they'll have two first round quarterbacks.
Bro, I'm not, that was so stressful dodging those fucking mines, bro.
But they don't have their picks. They traded them away to get Lance.
Well, no, then they'll trade Lance away for a single first rounder and draft Ritter and spend what, four firsts on Ritter?
Oh my god.
Holy shit. I can taste the vomit right now.
It's a Shanny move, bro.
So fucking mysterious, dude. You just never know with that guy.
Maybe San Francisco takes Breece Hall and they take Isaiah Spiller. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, and then they still trot out. They go with Sermon as their lead back.
Trade for Mostert.
Yeah. Just so we can get a shed odd in here. Where the fuck did he go? There we go. I was looking for Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis, over or under 13.5.
I think it's over.
Think it's over 13.5?
I believe he's
a favorite,
deserving of going under, but I think he goes over. I think there's going to be a lot more in terms of a sense of urgency by these teams. There's going to be a lot more confidence in the other defensive tackles that they're not like, we have to get Jordan.
Yeah. He does run like a gazelle, but I don't know how often that'll come into play in the trenches when you're, you know, hitting each other in a phone booth. Those are the only ones that stick out to me. There's like, you know, position totals, but I would have to, you know, look harder at that. And I don't really want to. And it's just it's so hard to fucking predict a full round of the NFL draft. It's so wild. It never goes according to plan or anyone's plan.
The year that CEH went 32 to the Chiefs, I gave him a 25% chance he'd make the first round, and I nailed the number of LSU players getting drafted, and I said Delpit wouldn't go in the first.
Yeah. Nice. So you love to see that. Well, let's win some money on these. I'll get in touch with your assistant, and we can wire funds, and I might wire the winnings back.
I might label it happy birthday.
Oh, you love to see that. Sorry about that. That's allergies. I think I muted it, though.
Yeah.
All right. I'm pretty beat, man. I think it's time to wrap her up.
What the hell? Yo, the sign is real simple, B. It says wrap it up. Wrap that shit up, B.
You see the sign, bro. Wrap that shit up. You got a gripe of the week, bud?
Not this week.
No. Well, very anticlimactic. My gripe of the week is... it's only my gripe because I had two highlights, and because this is really kind of a highlight, because it was just fucking hilarious. I was driving to work, and there's this quarter mile stretch that goes to two lanes, and everyone goes from 45 to 75. That's what everybody does. And then everyone goes back down to 45 at the top. And this guy was trying to, you know, weave in and out like he was Dominic Toretto in Fast and Furious, trying to fucking like get through, and no one was letting him through. And at the next two lane that came like a mile later, I didn't want to raise this dude. I was on my way to work at like 6 a.m. and he drives by me, and he has his phone up, and he's filming me. And so I did a double take, and then like laughed and waved. And I want to know what he did with it. I want to see this video, dude. I need to see it. This piss dude drives by, and I'm dressed all nice this day, and I laughed my ass off and waved at him.
This Luigi looking motherfucker in his exactly. Audi. So
I guess my gripe is just asshole drivers kind of weak. But
did you get your truck yet?
No, I don't know. The truck might be on hold. So much other shit I want to get. So yeah, the truck's in the works. Maybe next year. You got a highlight?
We sent our letter off for reimbursement for the plumbing services of the gentleman that came over and laid pipe.
Oh, nice.
So we'll see what happens with the response. But it's a hefty number.
Yeah. So. Did you pay for services lent?
Well, so the stuff was done, but it took a while to actually get all the remaining dirt out of my yard, which they came and did this week.
It was a dirty piping.
So I now have just complete access to backyard that I've put up a bunch of lights. So it's a well-lit backyard, and it just looks awesome at sunset.
Set the mood for the pipeline.
Well, I need the basketball hoop to complete the look.
Yeah. So we can dump on some fools. Nice.
Well, I know that Linda's been talking a bunch of shit about basketball.
She tends to talk some shit.
I'm gonna let her know what's up. But yeah, we should probably just do an event on here at some point this summer.
Yeah.
Just like a weekend or something.
Something. Might be able to make it. I'm a little booked. We got my trip next week. We got Canton. I go to Canada.
I got a gripe for you.
Oh, okay.
So my brother's wedding and bachelor party is in May. So it's just over a month paying for flights for all that bullshit.
Oh my god. That's the gripe. Okay. I thought it was on the same weekend.
I'm paying like $2,000 to go see this motherfucker twice.
Woof.
Yeah.
I don't love you that much, bro. My highlight, I was asked to host karaoke at a bar, and I was like, what? Because so I have a karaoke setup, kind of like a projector, and I used like my PlayStation or a Fire Stick, and I have like a mic and an amp. It's pretty bare bones. And so I was like, dude, I don't know if this is going to be suitable for a bar, bro, but he wants me to do it. So we're going to be hosting some ghetto karaoke, brother. It is amp is right there. It's just this little box. I don't know. We'll see. I said I wanted to do a test run, but
I think this is going to turn into a traveling business. Karaoke on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, and then you'll do trivia on Thursdays.
You know, I think I got the I got the pizzazz, I think, to do it.
So when I used to work at US Bank, I worked in a lot of areas when I was working in trusts. I was a part of the group that we had like four suites that we worked in with. So there was probably 200 to 300 people that we interacted with that through like different events. And one of them, we played match game and I was the host. And you know, like those like spongy stress balls that you get, I got a US Bank logo branded one that I put on an old metal printer reel and just shoved it on top, dug out some of the filling on the bottom and put it on there. And I made it a microphone. And I actually got people to lean into it to give me their answer.
Oh, nice.
It was so funny.
Well done. Well done.
So I like hosting stuff too. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I can be much more animated. I like using my announcer voice. Bruce Buffer at the UFC, man. I love that shit. I love being loud, even though I mumble or talk quiet when I'm talking a lot like this or in conversation. When I can be animated, dude, I love it.
I forget it's like the master of ceremonies or whatever. Like the gentleman, start your engine.
Oh, yeah. I need to find some like local UFC fighters and like announce those.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'd fucking kill it. I know, I'd be fucking killer at it.
And new
now fighting out of the blue corner. We get at 185 pounds.
You just travel around the Northeast and the New Hampshire welterweight champion. Blah, the blah,
Merrimack
blah.
Regional Semi-Continental Finals, sponsored by Deutsche Bank. Yeah. All right. That's it. I got to finish this. I got to go to bed. It's Friday. I have to work tomorrow. It's not my off Friday, which sucks, but it's been a long week. I've been doing a lot of housework, and today was long. I had a lot of work thrown at me. It was like my first day on my own. And they were like, all right, here you go, bud. And I got all the work. And then came home and had band practice and then hopped on here. So let's go eat dinner and then edit this. But thanks for listening, everybody. Peace. See you next Tuesday. Oh, live entertainment. We gotta go to the fucking outro. One day I'm going to learn to put this on and then talk like this, like I used to, and then have it end. right as the music kicks in.